Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly favored. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor, tell them this is your day for revelation and impartation. Praise be to God. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Grab your swords this morning. If you don't have a sword, I think we have some here, don't we? Somebody need a sword? Make sure you don't cut them when you give it to them. Hallelujah. I think it's important that we go to the Word this morning first before we do anything else. There's something that everyone wants, desires in the kingdom of God, and that is they have an open door with Him all the time. If that desire is not in you, see me afterwards. There should be a desire in us always to have an open door with God all the time. If we truly are in that place where God wants us and where we do have a relationship, there should be a desire all the time that there's a constant communication, a constant open door, a constant fellowship where heaven is open over you all the time. That should be a desire of every believer, that heaven is open. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. That heaven is open. I mean, isn't that, that's the most important thing to us, because in this there's relationship. And one of the things that God desires is that there'd be an open heaven over you. And so many times people don't realize that there is an area of an open heaven over us means that we have to be positionally placed. It's called positional blessing, because when there's an open heaven over you, there's blessings. And I'm not talking about physical, even though those are available, but I'm talking about spiritual. Spiritual blessings that keep you, spiritual blessings that empower you, spiritual blessings that keep you thirsty and hungry, spiritual blessings of visions and revelation, spiritual blessings that keep you in the spirit. In other words, you know when you begin to, you're sensitive enough so that when you know you begin to drift from the presence of God or the spirit of God, that you are, you know that like alarms go off within you. You know what, I don't want to be this far away. Because when you begin to get that far away, heaven begins to close on you. God wants to bless every single one of us, but there's a place that is positional blessings, and in the area of positional blessings, there's open heavens. Would you turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So an open heaven is actually positional blessings. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, you may be blessed materially, but are you blessed spiritually? And there is a difference. See, people are trying to be blessed materially, but they don't have spiritual blessing, which is more important than anything. In verse 1 in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, it says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat." Now, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. "Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord." He did what? He set himself to what? Seek the Lord. He didn't call up the other armies and military. He went to go what? Seek the Lord. "And proclaim a fast throughout Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." You know what you're doing here today? You've come to seek the Lord. At least I hope you did. Because if you came to see a man, you're in trouble. But you've come to seek the Lord. Amen? Go to verse 14. "So what happened is when they came to seek the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord always brings a message to you." And it says in the, would you read it with me? "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Manasseh, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great battle or multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up by the scent of Zid, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Now, this is what he tells them. He's giving them direction. Remember, they went to go seek the Lord. Now, God is answering them with his spirit through a man. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle, but what? Do what? Position yourselves. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Is everybody there? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is what? Now, how is he going to be with you? You must be what? Positioned. There's a place where there's spiritual position, and in the spiritual position is positional blessing. When there's positional blessing, there's open heavens. God wants to place us into a place where people know that God is with us. He wants people to see God with us so that they will want what you have. If you're in a condition that people don't want what you have, then something's not right. There's not an open heaven. And God is trying to get us to a place. Again, you can have all the materialism of blessings, but not the spiritual blessing, which is vitally important. Because God is trying to reveal himself to his children that are lost. And unless they see him in you, they won't come. Amen? And in verse 20, it says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out, and Jehoshaphat went out. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Come on, read this with me. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall what? Prosper. In other words, believe in his word that is spoken now, and you shall prosper. You know, it's too many sometimes we don't believe what God is speaking right now. God is the God of now. He gives us a now word. And I'm telling you right now, he's sharing with us that he wants to bring us to a place where there is an open heaven, but there must be a position. We must be positioned, spiritually and physically positioned, which is positional blessings where there's open heavens. Again, you can work your butt off and have all the materialism and no spiritual blessing, and it won't account for anything. Amen? Is everybody okay? How many of y'all want open heavens? But then you have to be spiritually positioned, and this positional blessings is open heavens. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 in verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Where are they? In heavenly places in Christ. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So he's saying something important. He's saying, look, I want you to be spiritually positioned so that you can have spiritual blessings, so that the heavens are opened over you. And in this, he says, I require that you be holy and without blame. I require to be what? Holy without blame. In loved. That means this is what, an area that's going to be what? Open heavens. Open heavens. Let me tell you, when open heavens is over you, God is always raining on you. He's raining his presence. He's raining his favor. He's raining his love. He's raining his glory. It's always raining on you. And no matter what's going on around you, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And in Genesis 28, you know, things are not getting better out there, even though they're going to lie to you and tell you it's going to be. But things are not getting better. They will eventually get worse for the world. For me and you, it will get better. But in that, where things are going to get more difficult, you know, we have to be positioned so that we can overcome. And in this, where the world is, things are going to be more difficult, and they're going to find that things are going to begin to crumble, and that many investments are going to begin to crumble, and many stocks are going to begin to fold, and all, because even the Bible says they're going to throw their gold and silver in those streets, and it's not going to mean anything. They're going to be looking for help. They're going to be wondering why. But right now, God is pouring out his blessings on his children because we are in a time of Joseph. It's a time of plenty for the body of Christ, but it will cease. And there'll be much destruction, there'll be much famine, a lot of things are going to happen. And God is preparing us for what's getting ready to happen. We can try to play religion and play church and play all of these other things. And let me tell you, you cannot pray against the prophecies of God. You cannot pray against his will. People are very frustrated with what's going on in the White House. What's going on in our government? How can I be so blind? Let me tell you something. All of this is a part of fulfilling the prophecies of God Almighty. So that we are prepared. And those who can't see this now are blinded. But there's a reason why that you can see this. It's so that you can get spiritually positioned. So that God gives you an open heaven. And that people will see him in you. And won't even know or understand. But they'll want to know what's going on. For some reason, they're going to say, I don't know what's up, but you know the truth. You know what's going on. In Genesis 28:10, would you read with me? Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants will be as of the dust, and you shall spread abroad the west and the east and the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all families of the earth will be what? Blessed. Why? Because there's a what? Open heaven. In other words, was he spiritually positioned? Yes. He was placed. He was positioned. And God visited him. And what did he do? He opened the heavens over him. And he said, anyone that's willing to be this place and positioned, I will open the heavens. And I will rain on you. I'll rain my presence. I'll rain my blessings. He says, look in verse 15. Behold, I am what? With you and will keep you for wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. In other words, he's faithful to complete what he has spoken to you, what he's promised to you. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. What was he doing? He was sanctifying this place. He said, look, I'm going to keep this as a place where there's always an open heaven. That's our responsibility. Who put the oil there? Jacob. Doesn't the word tell us that we're to be anointed with the Spirit? And it's our responsibility? Then he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. This stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. In other words, he was setting a foundation. And of all that you give me, I shall surely give a what? Tenth to you. He said, I'm going to tithe to you. He said, listen. So what was he saying? Look at, so many times we're always asking, why isn't some of the open heavens over us? One of the reasons is not tithing. He said it right here. He says, look, I will tithe to you. I will tithe everything of my increase 10% to you. Now, of course, if you're living in sin and tithing, you're not going to have open heaven, are you? Amen. Go to Malachi 3. Positional blessings is called open heaven. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. And I know we've heard this many times, but you're going to hear it again today. Because we want to open heaven, don't we? In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, will a man what? rob God, yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He said, bring all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not not enough room to receive it. Amen. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. In other words, people are going to see you. Not because of materialism. See, they saw Joseph in the Old Testament, not because of materialism, but because of the open heaven that was over him all the time. Whatever he touched prospered. But Joseph was not a wealthy man at all. It was, but he stayed in position. He allowed God to bring him through what he had to go through. And wherever God had to bring him through, I mean, he was sold by his own family. His own brother sold him, was put in prison, accused falsely, all kinds of things. And all of this got him into a position. But he stayed in position the whole time. He didn't grumble and complain. He didn't try to escape. He trusted God the whole way, because he knew that God was a God of truth. He was a God who was faithful. And in that, things began to change in his life with visions, with favor. God's reign of his blessings and his presence was always on Joseph, so that God used him in the end days, during that time where a lot of famines were, to bring prosperity, to be able to feed his people. He was a sign and wonder. People around the world knew Joseph as blessed. And God wants people to know you to be as blessed, spiritually blessed. Is everybody okay? In Proverbs 3, open heavens. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Is everybody there? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, we just talked about acknowledging the presence of God. One of our last teachings, acknowledging the presence of God. Acknowledging, doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what you think, you acknowledge his presence. And as you continue to acknowledge his presence, he will acknowledge you. Amen? So he says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I will guide you in all your paths. In verse 7, it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. In other words, there's healing there, isn't there? So he's saying, acknowledge me. But there's something that we need to do a little bit more. You know, when you acknowledge the presence of God, his presence shows up. There's something that he shared with me. He says, what happens is when people begin to acknowledge my presence, they don't embrace me. They're looking for something to get, but they don't embrace me. You know, you may see someone, so you may see somebody's presence, right? But what seals that off? When you embrace them, when you hug them. In other words, he's saying it's time not only to acknowledge my presence, but it's time to embrace my presence. You know, the other day, before Friday's service, I was praying and a song came in. I began to hear a song and I got sucked into God's presence, literally just poof. And you know, when you're in God's presence, you know, you begin to see things that are just disgusting about yourself. And you want to say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry I haven't been in your presence enough. I'm sorry. And my thoughts were, gosh, Lord, your presence is awesome. I couldn't get a word out to say I'm sorry. And I saw his face. And in his face, he said this to me. Shh. And he said, I know. Embrace my presence. Just embrace it. And let me tell you, man, I just began to weep and cry. And I was just saturated in the presence of God because I embraced his presence. When there's an embrace of his presence, there are no words. He knows every thought. He knows every hurt. He knows everything about you. He just says, embrace me. The word says, grab hold of me, I'll grab hold of you. Embrace me. See, this is the difference between religion. The religious people will embrace the word, but they don't embrace the presence. It's not about embracing the Word. It's about living the Word. But when you embrace His presence, His Word is expressed through you. Because He is the living Word, isn't He? He did write the Bible, didn't He? Amen. So there's this place where we want to have an open heaven in our life. And again, we need to not only acknowledge the presence of God, but we need to embrace the presence of God. And embracing His presence, you have everything. Let's go a little further. Go to Genesis 32. Is everybody okay? Man, you're all quiet today. Genesis 32. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 22. 32:22. And it says, and Jacob arose that night, and he took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you what? Bless me. What was he doing? He was embracing the presence of God. Does everybody get it? He was embracing the presence of God. He was fighting to embrace God's presence. He said, man, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Now, Jacob, the word Jacob is a representation of deceiver. And God was about to change Jacob's name to Israel, which is overcomer. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said in verse 29, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, in verse 28, he says something powerful, because I want to go back to this. And he said, your name shall no longer be called what? Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and have what? Prevailed. In other words, he embraced the presence of God. Of course, we know God could have just thrown him out of the universe if he wanted to. But he wasn't going to do that. See, sometimes it's the area where God is saying, are you willing to do whatever it takes? You keep asking me and asking me and asking me. I am faithful to complete what I started. I want to give you everything. But there's a place that I can release things to you. There's a place where there'll be an open heaven over you. And that I will always rain on you. So that you lack nothing. That you won't fear anything. That you'll just get through no matter what's going on around you. And that you'll know me. You'll not only know my presence. You'll know my character. And you'll know how I do things. You know, many people don't know how God does things. And when they don't know how God does things, they assume a lot and get in trouble. And it's called a sin of assumption or presumption, presumptuous sin. Let's go to Daniel 10. Open heavens. Daniel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you getting this? Daniel chapter 10. Is everybody there in verse 10? Everyone say suddenly. You know, God does things suddenly sometimes when you're you know, when you really begin to know the Lord as Father, you know, as a father, He likes to show up with presents. He likes to surprise His children. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, oh, you know, there's a gift. Something happens. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, thank you, Lord. You know, you just don't know what He's going to do next in that area. He loves to surprise us because He loves to always encourage us. Something may happen in your life that you've been, you know, you thought about, man, you know, one day I'd like to be able to have this or do this, and then, but really never prayed about it and just, you know, whatever, on God's, whatever, you know. All of a sudden, bam, there it is. Whoa. I'll never forget when somebody said, you know, one day I thought, you know, I'm going to need a pickup truck one day. But I was never a person that drove pickup trucks. I'm thinking, why would I need a pickup truck? We have probably to move all of the furniture and around it. We do all of the stuff and whatever. And all of a sudden, we get a call from someone. And this was years later. Because I was an individual. I liked power cars. you know, shifters, big engines, wide tires, things to that degree. Anyways, I won't go there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody calls and says, listen, there's a truck in my back in my yard. I've been, you know, I want to get rid of it. Would you come and pick it up? I'm thinking, you know, okay. So we went over to pick it up, and it had a dent on the top that would eventually had to be fixed. And he said, I'm the original owner. I ordered it this way and so forth. And I said, all right. I get in this truck, and I start it up. It goes, boom. And I look, and there's a Hurst shifter there. I'm thinking, wait a minute. So I said, all right, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but this is pretty intense. He said, isn't it something you've wanted for a while? I said, yeah, but I really didn't know in this lifetime it would come again, you know. So all of a sudden I'm driving it home, and I'm thinking, whoa. And I won't go any further than that. Anyways, I got the truck home, and now it's parked out in a parking lot. But, you know, just these simple things that God blesses us, you know. And even though it's a material thing, but we don't worship material things. It's a remembrance of the goodness of God and how he wants to get us things because he knows he wants to bless us and surprise us. And that's what gets us into that place where we desire open heaven, isn't it? Gosh, Lord. You know, I want revelation daily. I want to know that he's there daily. Not just once in a while. I want to know daily. Dad, I want to make sure that there's an open heaven all the time, no matter what. See, if you're going to go by how you feel, you'll be caught in that. You'll be caught in the wrong rain. It won't rain God's presence. It will rain problems. We want to be in the right rain. And that's where an open heaven is all the time. Amen? And in Daniel chapter 10, again, God does things suddenly. In verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Man, wouldn't you want an angel to show up and speak to you that way? Well, you have the Holy Spirit now. Now, I would say that there was an open heaven over Daniel. But there's something that Daniel was doing. He was setting his heart to understand. He was setting his heart to understand the ways of God. He was setting his heart, and he was humbling himself. He was realizing that he could do nothing on his own. He was humbling himself. Why, how was he? He was praying. He was making communication. He was praying. He was saying, Lord, I need your help. I'm nothing without you. I want to know you and understand you. And he had an open heaven. Go to Proverbs 4. Set your heart to understand and humble yourself. Proverbs chapter 4. In, hallelujah, in verse 5. Is everybody there? Proverbs 4, verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all of your getting, get understanding. There's something about wisdom. Wisdom, he always refers it to a her. In other words, in God is the fullness of wisdom. Amen? In other words, wisdom is almost like God's bride. It's almost like his wife. He's saying, because if you have me, you have the wisdom. Although we are the bride of Christ. But we need to have wisdom and understanding. Look at in verse 8. Would you read it with me? It says, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you what? When you embrace her. Why? Where is this wisdom? It's in the presence of God. He said, if you'll embrace me, you'll have wisdom. He's saying, embrace my presence and you'll embrace my wisdom. She will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Hear my words and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold, embrace of instruction, and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now, he's talking about the wisdom, but he's talking about embracing his presence, because embracing his presence is wisdom, and by embracing him, here's life. You know, in Luke 3:21, it says, Jesus prayed and the heavens were open. How many of y'all want the heavens to be open when you pray? Okay, that's positioning, isn't it? Well, did Jesus walk right before God? Amen. I sure hope so. He was in position. Everything according to Jesus was according to God's will, God's time. And if it's not God's time, when you walk out of God's time, heaven closes. Everything is associated with the timing of God. People try to move out of God's time and heaven shuts, because they're doing it in their own strength. And that's anxiousness. And the word says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. So there's something that God is trying to do, bring them back to be positionally blessed, where the heavens are open, to get them in the place of position so that they can trust him, lean not on their own understanding, not only acknowledge his presence, but embrace his presence, and then obey his presence. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 3:7, let's speak it together. Is everybody there? Husbands, likewise dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You want heaven to shut on you? Be careful. Now, this is not just for husbands to wives. This is also for wives to husbands, too. And it's also to one another. Bitterness. If you're still holding bitterness towards someone, unforgiveness, heaven will shut over you. In verse 8, it says, finally, all of you be one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be what? Courteous. Not what? Returning evil for evil, or what? Reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, what? Blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Hello. In John 9. So we don't want heaven to shut on us, do we? I'll tell you what, that scripture comes up to me a lot. Every time it's like, you know what? I mean, with anything, it doesn't matter. If there's something I want to react on, that scripture comes up. It's like, man, you know what? Shut up. Stick a sack in your mouth. Cast it out. Because one of the things that defile and cause problems is what comes out of your mouth. Everybody wants to unload how they feel. But it really doesn't do any good, does it? It just causes problems. And it gets you out of position and heaven shuts. Man, I have to be careful all the time. I don't want heaven shut over my life. I want the reign of God to be on me all the time, the blessings of the Lord. And again, it's not about materialism. It's about his presence, knowing that he's there, man. Knowing that you have favor. And you don't have favor because of something you did. It's because of something where you're at. Does everybody got it? You're spiritually possessing. So if you're spiritually positioned, God's reign is on you. That means you got favor. So things might not happen today, but you know it's going to. Things will be chasing you. You don't have to chase them. It's different. People go, what are you going to do about this? I don't know, but I will. I don't need to know right now. If the Lord wants me to know, he'll tell me. Didn't you know about this and this? No, I didn't. And I thank God I didn't know, because it really doesn't matter. Everybody must work out their own salvation, right? It's you and God. That's it. You and the Lord, you and your Father. One of the things we want to do is be pleasing to him. Anyways, the Lord says that God does not hear the prayers of a sinner, but he hears the prayers of a worshiper. You want heavens open you, over you? You worship. It's important that you worship. Has everybody got it? So you want to be not only a worshiper, which brings God's presence, but it opens the heavens. Of course, if you're in sin and you're worshiping, is the heavens going to be open? No. In Acts chapter 7. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 7. In verse 51. Stephen was being accused by the Sadducees and Pharisees, and Sanhedrin, and he says, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised, and hardened ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets and your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have become the betrayers and murderers. You have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out to the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on the Lord God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge him with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep or he went home. So here, in other words, he saw heaven open. Does everybody understand that? There's no reason why you and I can't see heaven open. Heaven wants to be open over me and you all the time. Well, you're seeing beyond the natural. You're seeing beyond the temporary. You're seeing the hand of God move. You're seeing something that the Lord is doing. You can see, just like the other night in my room when I saw the face of God and he just went like this. It was heaven open. We should be able to see heaven open a lot more. Why? It brings revelation. It brings encouragement. You know that God is with you. Because the enemy is always trying to hit you in the mind saying God's not with you. But again, the things that we may be doing may be closing heaven on us. Amen? Heaven open. Even Ezekiel, go to Ezekiel in chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were what? Opened, and I saw visions of God. Now, he was in captivity, but Ezekiel was right with God. And he saw heavens open. He had visions. Amen? Again, if heaven is open in our life, there will be visions. Is everybody okay? There's something he says. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is everybody there? Verse 14. It says, do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness, and what accord is Christ with Belial, or what part of a believer is with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If they do what? If they come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, then I will receive you and I'll be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Again, coming out from touching unclean things, coming out from the ways of the world, coming out from these places. You know, there are things that you know that you have not let go of yet. You may be struggling with something that you have not let go. And heaven seems to just sprinkle once in a while, but it's not raining yet. I'm telling you, until you let go of everything that is displeasing to God, it will never rain. It can't rain because he can't come against his word. And if you really want God to rain on you, we need to come out of the world and let go of those things that are displeasing to him so that the blessings, the spiritual blessings will rain upon us. And you will walk in peace, joy, and righteousness all the time, no matter what's going on around you. You will be embracing the presence of God instead of running from it. In Jeremiah 7. Open heavens. We could speak on this for a few days, but we won't. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my what? Obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be what? Well with you. Well with you. Well, when it's well with you, there's an open heaven. Amen? I want to share with you that there's three things that we want to try to hold on to. Acknowledge his presence, embrace his presence, and obey his presence. I'm going to say it again. Acknowledge his presence, embrace his presence, and obey his presence. Because in his presence is his voice. There's not enough believers that truly hear the voice of God. And it's because they're not acknowledging, embracing his presence. Their guidance is only what they read. What if you left your Bible home and you got into a circumstance and you need to hear the voice of God? What are you going to do? Call pastor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, whatever the pastors hear, they're going to tell you what's what, right? Amen. But you may not like it. Again, we want to acknowledge his presence, embrace his presence, and obey his presence. We want an open heaven in our life in everything that we do. Go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 27. Proverbs 11 and verse 27. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? He who earnestly seeks good finds favor. He who earnestly seeks the Lord finds favor. But trouble will come to him who what? Seeks evil. 28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Wow. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and a fool be a servant to a wise heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Yes. So again, he who earnestly seeks good or seeks the presence of God or embraces the presence of God, obeys the presence of God, will be blessed. We are blessed at every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but we must access those areas. We must be in position so that they are released. We want an open heaven over all of us. And it's the desire of the Lord right now is that there is an open heaven over his children. Amen? And I want to close in Revelation 19. This is the final open heaven. Favor. Favor comes with an open heaven. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, that's us, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he is on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I encourage you to examine yourself. Grumbling and complaining will not resolve the problem. What are the vows you've made before God? Not fulfilling vows will shut heaven instantly. Sin, unclean things, trying to move out of God's time. We want an open heaven. God desires it for his children. So let's get it. Whatever it is he's dealing with you and removing those things or cease doing those things that are displeasing to him, do it so heaven can be open. And let it rain on you. Amen? Let his favor, his blessing, his joy, and his presence rain on you so that wherever you go, people will know that God is with you. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we do ask for your forgiveness and repent for those areas that closed heaven over us. Again, reposition us so that we can be spiritually positioned with spiritual blessings in an open heaven. And as we prepare our hearts today to receive communion and to give offering, let it be done according to your will and way. And let your blessings rain on your people. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.